tweet at us or just follow us or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
A little drinking last night because a little client thing we had to show up at. I shouldn't say had to. We had fun there.
We chose to.
And consequently, when I drink.
Damn it.
That's okay. Consequently, when I drink, I get hungry in the morning, and Omaha Tap House has showed up today, as they usually do on Thursdays. Two locations in Omaha, some of the best food, bison, ham and cheese slider. I'm just wolfing one of those down like it was nobody's business. Puss's head just peeked up. Hey, there's a milkshake stout in here for you if you want that.
Yeah, I was just talking to Brian about that.
But, yeah, a lot of great food there. Omaha Tap House, two locations in our fair city of Omaha, the home city.
Next week he's going to bring me a bison heart.
Oh, yeah.
Because he goes out and he kills
Swiss
him.
Cheese on it, right?
He kills him himself.
Yep. Ask him.
Rides his horse out on the Great Plains.
Our buddy Greg Morton will be here tomorrow. He's flying in today, but he starts tonight at the Funny Bone, funnybonomaha.com to see Greg. PD Max here, a little sports. Thirsty Thursday continues with Craig.
Was on this date in 2016. We lost TV star Alan Thicke.
Is that Michelle Bachman?
That would be a Michelle Bachman birthday.
Yeah. You're
absolutely happy right. Birthday!
Thicke hockey heart attack.
Yeah. Playing hockey with his son. He was only, what, 58?
69.
Oh, he was older. But still, dropped over dead of a heart attack playing hockey.
Yeah. That'll teach you to exercise.
He obviously had something else going on. Yeah.
Now we have another, is it a millennial? He actually owns a can opener.
Good for him.
Does he know how to work it? Because that's one of the things, too, that apparently the millennials don't know how to use a damn can opener.
I
even
am
if they
a
did
millennial.
Have
I own two can openers,
damn.
He says. So he must know how to work it.
All right, what? He couldn't work the first one, so he got the second one.
He should give a buddy one, then.
I don't know. Usually, you got the cheap one, the key one.
Right.
Yeah. We don't need tuna at my house because it's, if you didn't hear the story yesterday, StarKist is blaming millennials' lack of can opener prowess.
It is a lame.
on their sinking
sales. I'm not saying
sales.
They did it. If they investigated and that might be true, I don't know, but it's really lame.
They actually investigated it, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah, we don't need tuna at my house because it's
tuna.
Shelf-stable meat, and that's nasty. Having worked at a grocery store almost my entire working life, I've seen what happens to meat when it sits out for a couple of days, and it's not good. A can of tuna can last up to a year. Meat that lasts a year unrefrigerated, I'm not saying it's not safe. I'm sure they've
done definitely safe.
Major testing.
It's definitely
but
safe.
When you look at it, it's pretty damn gross. Go get yourself a tuna steak from your local meat department and cook that if you want.
Well, that is good.
It is.
Good. Yeah.
And but 10 times the cost.
Yeah, but
But
canned tuna is obviously safe.
Good tuna is not cheap.
Yeah.
Like a good yellowfin. I know what kind of tuna they serve at the sushi joints, but it's good.
Yeah.
That's sushi grade tuna.
Yeah.
It is.
Buy a freaking can opener. You need it for other stuff too once in a while.
You ever watch Wicked Tuna?
Nah, a couple times.
On the National Geographic Channel?
No.
It's a bunch of Tom Dustins.
Yes.
They're collecting tuna.
It is.
Yay, sports.
Sports.
Bunch of New Englanders.
Yeah, bunch of sports and tuna.
Catching big tuna.
They all look like Tom Dustin, too.
Some of those
skinny New Englanders
are huge. You know, 400 or 500 pounds.
Yep.
That tuna's as big as a car.
Yeah. That's exactly how that show sounds. Yeah. How about the Sox?
Yeah, they're all out of Maine, Massachusetts,
big time,
New
man.
Hampshire.
Yeah.
So at Elite Daily, Jen Scalia was talking about one night stands and booty calls and friends with benefits. The friends with benefits bit. Can you do this without hurting or without someone getting feelings? She says it's easier to do it on one-night stands than with doing it with booty calls or friends with benefits, although with booty calls you can still work around it. Don't stay.
I still think,
for one thing.
Once again, this is so old school for us. I don't think any of us are in the current situation where they do it now, but social media makes everything different. People know people's Facebook. They know names. They know people. The old days, it was a bar. If you saw the person at the bar, you might not ever see him again. Or you did, or you just didn't really pay attention to him because you weren't involved with them social media-wise the rest of the month or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
So I think there were true strangers in the night back in the day, and I don't think there's many of those now because of social media.
Good point, because even you're in a one-night stand situation,
you might not see that person.
Well, you also might be interested in that person.
Right. And then you don't see them again.
Once you think about it a little bit,
yeah.
And then somehow you're able to find them on social media.
But now you can, social media. Yeah.
And friends with benefits, she says, is a similar scenario to the booty call, except that this is someone that you know probably through mutual friends or have known for years, so there's some sort of connection and some kind of feeling involved, even if it's just as friends. You actually like this person.
Yeah. Well, it's also a sexual attraction, I'm sure.
Well,
you might
obviously.
Not want to. We're not going to be a good couple, but, you know.
And that's the thing. We're not going to be a good couple, but
we got great sexual attraction, Craig.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, long term.
But besides me.
Yeah, but right. One of you is going to fall in love.
They say you actually like this person for who they are, but for whatever reason, having a relationship just is not in the cards. She says that things could get awkward if and when it ends, as you still hang out in the same social circle.
Yep. And then somebody gets involved with somebody else, and somebody's pissed and drunk.
Yeah.
Bitch!
Somebody gets jealous.
God, I love sex.
Jen says that relationships like these don't last.
Are you leaving with that whore? Yes.
Jen says that relationships like these don't last because one person becomes more emotionally invested than the other.
I don't know what you see in her.
Yep.
She's not you.
Yeah.
And you have to like someone at least a little bit in order to have a good, lasting physical relationship with that person.
But once again, a true friends with benefits does end. So how's it end?
It's right there in the title.
Somebody moves on to somebody else and somebody moves on. Bummed out. Because if this person's reliable sex once a week or every 2 weeks.
Even if it's once a month.
Whatever. If it's reliable and it ends, it's not reliable anymore. So somebody's pissed off and bummed out.
Does the friendship end then? If the sex ends, does the friendship end? I've never had this kind of relationship.
I'm like a lot. I got plenty of friends.
Theoretically.
Yeah. I got you guys.
Theoretically, a friends with benefits type of relationship, I would think.
Theoretically,
right. Yes. And the way that you go into it would seem to me like it would like you are anticipating the end, and that's okay.
But here's the deal with that. You see these a lot in movies, and in real life, sex ruins friendships.
That's what you hear as well.
Guys don't care. I don't care about the friendship that much.
And it could have been a situation where the sex was the only thing that you were friends for.
Thank you.
You're just kind of acquaintances, right. But, you know, you hooked up. And if you're not banging each other, well, there's really nothing else there.
That was all you really had in common.
But that was really all you had in common.
So then no one is hurt.
Well, yeah. One is bummed because the sex goes away because she's moved on.
But I'm just saying you can.
Because she's moved on.
I think the guy will come back for sex and benefits no matter how long. He would do it forever, even if he's seeing somebody. I think he would, in general.
And some of them.
Some. Bad guys.
Yes.
But the woman is going to say, no, I met somebody. This has to stop.
Or the woman is going to say, no, aren't you involved with somebody? I don't want to be part of that.
Don't let her know that.
One of the people in the relationship might do that. So, what she says about friends with benefits, when you have no expectations, you have no disappointments, if you can go into a relationship with a switch to turn your feelings on and off, then, you know, you're good to go there. But some might think that is cold and heartless.
In the morning.
We are so lame. We haven't had any of these for so long.
Well, our wives don't think so.
No, they don't let us, they don't let us investigate this relationship stuff, even though we talk a lot about it.
We talk out our ass what we do. It's a big glory days conversation. It sounds lame.
Yeah, but talking out our ass is every topic.
But
so,
everybody, no matter who you are, man or woman, has a glory days story. No matter if it had to do with sex or what you... I used to be able to play basketball really good. Yeah, well, you suck now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just aren't afraid to say it out loud. But every guy sits around with their buds and talks about the glory days, hence the song.
But when we do stories like this, we do get the email and the calls from people
yeah,
who are
they're
actually
currently
in
doing
the middle
it. That's what I want to know. Yeah,
middle of a friends right. with benefits.
But it's been around. It's been around forever.
Or a booty call yeah. situation, or in the middle of a series of one night stands. And good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for all of you.
Same time next year. It's a play originally, but it's a great movie starring Alan Alda. In fact, we talked to Alan Alda about that. And it's Alan Alda and Ellen Barkin. And the movie's like this early 70s. Mm. And they're a couple that gets together once a year. And it takes place over like 20 years of their lives. And they just have sex in a cabin once a year. And they move on with their yeah. lives. But they end up going through marriages on the side. So right. It's a great movie.
Are they not both married?
They're both married. And they just go through different periods of time in their life. One time she shows up pregnant. But they talk about their spouses and their families. It's a feel-good movie that wouldn't happen ever in real life. And Alan Alda mentioned that people say, I love that movie. And he goes, you know, it's two people cheating on their spouses once a year in a cabin. Did you know what the movie's about?
You'll hear that conversation again over Christmas break.
It's a great conversation. Cool. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Yeah.
Federal health officials say that fentanyl has overtaken heroin as America's deadliest drug.
It kills, man.
A report by the CDC says that there were 18,000 fentanyl overdose deaths in 2016. The rate doubled every year from 2013 to 2016. The CDC says there's 173 overdose deaths a day in the U.S., more than 63,000 a year.
The one that scared me the most was that those two people, the two kids that took those pills, a pill apiece, right? Died of fentanyl. You did that story?
Mm.
Yeah. It was overloaded with something it shouldn't have been.
Yeah. So after fentanyl, then the most dangerous drug, of course, is heroin, followed by cocaine and the methamphetamine.
Stay away from them, all of them. Smoke a little weed, drink a little booze.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Matt, did you see that
not partying is not an option, by the way. We're not going to act like it's you don't party. But that's stupid. You're going to try it. No matter how old you are, you're going to eventually try it. But
Only human nature.
It is only human nature to try to get a buzz. So stick to the norms. A little booze, a little weed. Just come on. What do you do?
Wow, you know, some people got to push the limits.
I know that. Well, I know a few people that did that.
Yeah. I think we'd experimented at one time in our life.
Some of those things, yes.
Not the heavy stuff.
No, though. Hell no.
No X in a van or anything.
No, you suck face with a dude, ask Craig.
No.
Don't ask him, he says.
He's not trying aware to avoid of that, that being yeah. true.
Yeah. I was never around anybody who did heroin, and I don't know if I would have tried it.
No. I never saw heroin either.
Even back in the day.
I never saw... my cousin, I think, had a problem years ago, but I didn't see him for 2 or 3 years during that period of time, and I think he had a problem.
But there was a period of time where I didn't turn
He's
down
fine
a
now.
Lot of...
He's fine
I,
now.
I didn't
though.
Say no to a lot of drugs.
Yeah, but it wasn't heroin.
I did say no to a bunch of guys who were shooting up cocaine.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, good choice. Yeah. Good boy, good boy.
Good boy. No,
he has some.
If you don't mind, I'll just chop this up. And you guys just shoot away.
Woo. You guys got a problem.
Oh, yeah. I remember pulling up to, it was midnight, at a pharmacy. And this guy, I need a bag of hypodermic needles for my diabetes, please. And it's like eight of us in a car, and he's getting a Jeez. Bag full of hypos. And
nice friends you got there.
Yeah. I don't remember if they melted it down or whatever.
We won't take that call.
I did it conventionally.
Right. Just listen to rap songs. You'll get the instructions.
Yeah, go. So that's right. The one time yeah. I said no to at least the delivery method of a drug.
I'm not used to saying this, but good drug decision, Todd.
Yes, very good. Uh-huh. Very good. Do cocaine the regular way. That was his drug decision. He didn't turn down the drugs. He turned down shooting in his arm.
Right.
He still did a big rail on a cassette case in the back of the car.
That's what Richard Pryor always said. Just do drugs the normal way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Might have been a CD case.
Yeah. No, this is probably cassette era.
He's thinking. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
That was cassette era.
Yeah. I don't think the CDs weren't quite that popular yet. No. It might have been right
cassette
off.
Cassette era cocaine.
Right off the table.
Right.
He might have been one of those guys with, he had the mirrors with the notches in it.
Or the glass table like Craig used to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was just thinking about that.
He was. I could tell his face.
I was thinking about.
He had a glass table that spun around.
All right. Yeah.
Thinking about something different,
like
than
a cocaine lazy Susan.
Yes, it was.
He did. He had a cocaine lazy Susan. Right. He did. When we first moved to town, he did. His apartment. I know where his apartment complex was.
It was a large circular piece of glass that sat on top of one of those big wire spools.
Yes.
It wasn't actually a wire spool, so
but it looked like one.
Yeah.
It was that same shape.
Yeah. Cut it up and then spin it on over.
Yeah. Spun it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't glued down so you could move it.
Oh, man.
Craig, chop, chop, chop. Whose turn is it?
Hallelujah.
Click, click, click.
I mean, I never messed with that, but I might have if there was a lazy Susan.
If you were our age.
It was.
If you were the same age as us and we met you then, you would have messed with it.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind. You were 9 somewhere.
Yeah,
but I was 20 to 30 with a lot of choices to do it. Just no lazy Susans.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you weren't
the
hanging
cocaine
around
cocaine lazy Susan, man. They don't have that on Amazon. I've been checking.
Yeah. I think we were done with the coke by the time you started hanging around with us.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Just don't do drugs, kids. Weed and booze. I think that's the moral of that story.
Just weed.
And they don't count as
that's
drugs.
Moral of that. Well, weed's going to be legal everywhere eventually, so. Mm. Which is crazy.
Except the South and the middle of the country.
Yeah, true.
Researchers conducted a couple of surveys and discovered that about 80% of younger and middle-aged adults are not completely honest with their physicians. About 60% of baby boomers misrepresent themselves. About a third admitted that they don't speak up when they did not agree with their doctor's treatment plan or recommendation. They're just going to go ahead and do what they feel like anyway.
Yeah, you can speak up, and you should speak up, and you can fire your doctor.
Right.
And you can seek a second opinion if you're not satisfied with what's going on. A lot of people feel like they've signed some kind of contract and
there's not TMI.
Don't run out on their doctor.
There's not TMI with a doctor. He's heard it all or she's heard it all, and tell them. I think it helps if you have a doctor, have a same guy. If you have a same doctor or a same woman, my guy's a dude, and I've known the guy for 20 years now, and I can tell him anything. But, yeah, I've been lucky enough, nothing major's actually happened. But the bottom line is I can just say this and this and this, and they don't care.
But there are doctors out there who suck.
Oh, yeah.
And you can fire them.
Yeah.
And you can move on and find one that you like.
Right.
One that you're compatible with.
Right. The most common thing that patients lied about were, you know, the two big things, diet and exercise.
And I don't know why people lie either, because he doesn't care or she doesn't care.
Participants also said they found themselves saying they understand their physician's treatment plan when they actually didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm reconsidering telling the truth now that we've learned that doctors assume that you're lying.
About the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. They double the alcohol intake. But I kind of tell the truth on that because it's...
Kind of?
It's 3 to 6, 6 to 8... 12 to 16, and then it says other, and you write other sometimes. Yeah, I probably have more than 18 drinks. Some days, some weeks. Threw down a couple last night.
Participants felt like they'd be judged by their doctors or lectured by their doctors, or maybe they just didn't want to hear how harmful their own behavior was.
No, pretty good chance he's got someone who's a sorry
case. Sorry
case
than you, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Other people just felt too embarrassed to tell the truth to their doctors because most people want their doctor to think highly of them for whatever reason. They're worried about being pigeonholed as someone who doesn't make good decisions. Well, most of us don't.
Most of us don't. Not 24/7.
No, yeah. You go to the doctor to get fixed, so tell them the truth.
Exactly. Tell them the truth. And, yeah, you probably do some things too much.
Everybody does.
Or not enough.
Unless you're Tim Tebow, you're doing something wrong for your body.
Probably.
Right. And nobody wants
to. And maybe you don't care.
But you're still doing something.
But at least be aware of it.
Right.
It's very easy to not care that you drink too much or have too much salt.
Or eat too much. You're right.
Yeah, whatever it is. But at least be aware and know the facts.
Right.
Even Tim Tebow touches himself.
Yeah, but that's not bad for you.
Every once in a while.
It's not bad for
you. But he feels bad.
Yeah.
He feels guilty about it.
Why you got to say bad things like that to put awful visuals in my head?
Tebow masturbating.
A Westford, Vermont man out of Vermont, Ted Pelkey, spent $4,000 and put up a giant, illuminated, 700-pound wooden middle finger sculpture. He put it on top of a 16-foot pole on his front lawn, directed at town officials.
Oh, so wasn't it the neighbors?
No.
Aimed it down towards the town hall?
Yes.
This is great. Is it a small Vermont town? I love this.
Yeah,
why is he mad?
Westford.
Why is he mad?
Oh, they don't let him do what he wants to do on his property.
That's it?
WCAX.com reporting. Says that Pelkey says it stems from a long-running dispute with the town over whether he can develop his property the way he wants to. He wants to move his truck repair and monofilament recycling business there so he can take more business and not pay rent in the next town over.
Oh, and they just have zoning laws.
The town keeps putting up barriers. He thinks members of the town development review board have a personal grudge against him, so he flips them off constantly.
Moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. There's no zoning laws, as far as I can tell. I saw a house, a casino, a bar,
a trailer,
a church, and a trailer. All back to back.
And here's the thing.
I wonder what was wrong with the city. I kept thinking, what is wrong with this city? It just seems weird. My wife didn't understand what I was trying to say. I think it's got to be the zoning laws. They don't have them. I mean, I'm thinking, why is there all of a sudden a nice little couple houses, then some horrible crap, and then another nice house, then some more horrible crap, all like stacked beside each other?
Right, because it started out.
I don't see that in this city. I really don't.
A lot of places start out as a horrible, crappy neighborhood, you know, and then they kind of evolve. They gentrify.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's usually zoning laws against a lot of that
except
stuff.
In Sioux Falls, yeah,
except
apparently.
In Sioux Falls.
They don't gentrify.
No.
In Westford, Vermont, they can't do anything about this middle finger because it is considered public art.
Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of that.
He said,
remember the old wooden middle finger?
Pelkey, P-E-L-K-E-Y.
Oh, okay.
People had those in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what it looks like.
I'm just
Except
curious if the monofilament recycling business is a lucrative one.
Well, apparently not in Swanton, but it is in Westford.
It is, Todd.
Commissioning the sculpture and mounting it on the platform in his yard cost about $4,000. The display includes a couple of floodlights so it can be viewed at all hours.
Oh, great. Some little kid looking out his window.
He says, I want it lit up so you can see it day and night. It's getting dark early nowadays, right? 4 o'clock, it's dark. People want to see it.
What a dick.
This guy's just an ass.
Just an ass.
He said, finding out that the sculpture is public art was the most wonderful thing he's ever been told in his life.
Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, sports with Petey Mac coming up.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.